Hey, let me ask you a quick question about that, Mayor, because I think it's a really important point. And I've seen cases where a doctor is negotiating for the sale of their practice, and they don't tell the staff anything. And then one day, it's like, boom, I just want to let you, I'm call a team meeting, I sold the practice, we're now, it's now Dr. Chris who's in charge. Sounds like a bad move. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is. I think that, look, and we can talk a lot more about this in another situation, but if, in fact, you're thinking about selling your practice, this has got to be something that is totally kept quiet. Your patients say, hey, doc, you thinking about retiring? You can't say, yeah, I'm thinking about retiring, because we never want to give a patient any reason to leave the practice. So these negotiations absolutely have to be kept quiet until there is a signed purchase and sale. And I think that the seller, knowing that we want to have key staff members stay, you know, has got a pretty good idea of who is going to stay. A lot of these people, hopefully, are a lot younger than the selling doctor, and they still need a job. And what would be helpful for that seller is to say to his staff, look, I've done a worldwide intercontinental search for the right person, and I've got this great person, you're going to love this person, and that person is totally going to be paying the same salary, continuing your benefits, everything's going to be the same. So I don't think that it's a big deal.
Excellent. All right.
But I do think that you want to retain those key staff members, because patients are used to seeing them. I mean, I don't know. I heard some statistics someplace. I don't know where they get these statistics, that 30% of the patients in your practice don't even know your name. The doctor. That's pretty humbling, but that's what I say. But, you know, they recognize the person at the front desk. They recognize their hygienist. And so it's important for those people to stay.
Right. So true. It's not like a football team where the new coach comes in and they bring in their own assistant coaches and everything. Everybody's got to go.
That's
right. There'll be a huge mistake in a dental practice.
It certainly would.
All right, keep going.
Another issue that I see that can be a problem is a failure to review what I call obligations and commitments. In other words, you've got a lease on some equipment, you just bought this thing, you owe a lot of money. And so in a practice sale, it has to be transferred debt-free. A big thing is misjudging the size of the practice. It is totally critical to know how many patients are in the dental practice. Now, everybody's got a different idea of who do you call a patient. I have a particular definition of an active patient that says that an active patient is somebody with an appointment. Think about it. I mean, if you're a patient in this practice and you've come in for a continuing care visit and there's no dentistry that needs to be done, you should have a next appointment to get your teeth cleaned. If you have a dentistry that needs to be done by the doctor, you should have an appointment with the doctor. So a patient is somebody with an appointment. Okay, unfortunately, many times I get called in as a consultant after the fact when the buyer is very unhappy because the patient base that they thought they were purchasing is nowhere to be seen. And that is hugely crippling, because you've paid a price based on what that practice has grossed it or collected or produced, and if a third of the patient base sort of disappears, you definitely overpaid for their practice. So you really have to do a very, very good job of identifying who the patients are in the practice. Another mistake that I see, and these are things that, Jesus, they just can be so critically important, is a failure to educate on the telephone technique, meaning the scripting for the front desk regarding the new doctor when somebody calls. You really have to go over that in very, very fine detail, because if that person says the wrong thing, it can be disastrous, and we just can't allow people to leave the practice based on those kinds of things. Another thing where is a real turnoff is when the new doctor might possibly be recommending what I would call aggressive or elective dental treatment. I recommend that the buyer initially does not suggest treatment unless something is broken or decayed. You really have to sort of avoid the low-hanging fruit and be telling people they need this or that because you're thinking about how much money this practice costs. You've really, really got to be careful about that. Once that patient has come back a few times, they really become your patient, and then it's fine to recommend more elective treatment. I mean, think about it. If you say to somebody who comes in, oh, you know, you need a crown on that tooth, and they say, well, how come, you know, Dr. Jones never told me about that? So, I mean, what are you going to say? You know, you probably didn't realize that Dr. Jones was legally blind. Good job.
Hey, don't you know the size of my banknote?
So, you know, you've really got to be careful about that. Once that person has returned a few times, then you can recommend them, and usually they're going to follow through on elective treatment or more definitive kinds of therapy. Another mistake that the acquiring dentist does is not slowing down his schedule, not slowing down his side or her side, because you need to be able to take time on all of these hygiene patients and new patients that are coming into the practice. You've got to realize that every patient that you see in this practice is a new patient for you. So you've got to take the time to slow down your schedule, even at the expense of your production, so that you have the opportunity to interact with these patients and start to build a relationship, because you know you never get that second chance to make a great first impression. So you've really got to really force yourself to slow down to be able to take the time to build those relationships. Another mistake I see is the introductory letter gets sent out, from the seller to his patient base. You need to have an absolutely fantastic, great letter that goes out to the practice. It's written by the buyer, in my situation, which, of course, comes from the seller, because this is the principal way that goodwill is going to be transferred. And then the last point that I would make in these kinds of transitions is this myth that it's important to retain the selling doctor for patient introductions. My feeling is that we do not want that seller there at all after the sale is consummated. Remember, it's okay if the doctor changes. It's not okay if the staff changes. There's no need, in my estimation, for the seller to stay on for 4 to 6 months to introduce patients, because it's virtually impossible to get patients to go to see the new doctor if the old doctor is still there.
That is so true. That is one of the great myths, too. I mean, how many times have we heard that? Oh, when you buy the practice, make sure that you have an introductory phase-in or phase-out period. You know, BS. The guy's gone. Send him on his merry way. But I think to kind of a companion point with that, and all 10 points were great, but I think one of my favorite ones was that you do need to slow down your schedule and take the time to treat every single patient like a new patient. So important. You don't want their first appointment to be a big rush job. It's just not a good thing to do.
Of course, because, you know, we are all hearing the cry, I need more new patients, I need more new patients. Everybody's spending marketing dollars, whether it's in social media or it's internet or it's internal marketing or whatever way you're doing it, advertising, the radio, you're trying to find more new patients. And when we add up what it costs, we all know that it's almost incalculable to figure out what the value is of a new patient. Well, when you buy a practice, every single patient is a new patient. So that's why it's so important to be able to do that.